We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome inside the Guilty as Charged podcast. My name is Steven, and I am your host. Coming to you with a very special guest, Mr. Marcus Johnson, who covers the Raiders for SB Nation. Here to do a little Raiders preview. And so, Marcus, thanks for taking the time to join me today. How are you doing?
Good, man. How are you doing? How are you doing, Steve? Appreciate you guys having me back. We talked before the previous game, the last game of the season, so appreciate you having me back, man.
Yeah, we happy to have you. Doing well myself, and I remember the conversation we had before the Chargers and Raiders game was a little kind of pessimistic on your side, and then of course you know the Raiders ended up winning. Unfortunately, you know my co-host Tyler and I were there at that game. Feel pretty good about the Chargers' chances to get into the playoffs, and then couldn't get it done. Couldn't stop the run in that specific game. So. Raiders ended up going to the playoffs, but it's all good, man. It's all good. Happens every single year.
Yeah, exactly right.
So obviously a ton has changed. The AFC West went completely bonkers in this offseason. Of course, we had our Broncos friend on last week talking about Russell Wilson. You guys go out and get Devontae Adams and Chandler Jones. If I'm not mistaken, Chandler Jones hasn't been practicing, but you've had a few opportunities to get some eyes on Devontae Adams at this point. A few practices, of course. You know, the Raiders get the Hall of Fame game, so they're a week ahead of schedule from everybody else. What's the buzz around Devontae Adams and his connection with Derek Carr and what he's doing for, you know, the other receiving options and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I think Devontae Adams, I mean, he lives up to the bill. I mean, especially when you see him in person, man. Definitely the hardest worker there. You know, he's going hard every single route, and I think the connection with him and Carr, you can already see it. I mean, they're already talking, communicating on the sidelines, talk about routes they want to run, and they had some really good passes, especially on Saturday when there was more competition with the cornerbacks. I thought they had some really good connections there, and you know, you can see their chemistry already, and you know, Derek Carr's able to know where he's at and get the ball out quick to him. So you kind of see how, you know, they've been working out together for 7 years, and they already have that little bit of that chemistry already. Like, he knows where he wants to put the ball on fades. He knows where Devontae Adams wants that football when he's, you know, running a dig route. So I think they already have that kind of understanding there already. And I think it's going to be a big impact, especially for Carr and, you know, the whole offense, in my opinion, because I think it's going to push in other guys. And you're seeing, you know, a former Chargers player like Tyron Johnson. He looks really, really good out there. And you can see that maybe Devontae Adams is pushing him. So, you know, he has a big impact on the whole team. And I'm really excited about his outlook for the season.
Our audience is not going to be very happy to hear that specific little conversation. A lot of people were very upset when the Chargers cut him. But, you know, it is what it is. So I am glad that you brought Tyron up, because I think, you know, there are a lot of outside question marks about, you know, obviously you have Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfro, Darren Waller. That's as good of a trio as you can have in the NFL, in my opinion. And there's always this conversation around the NFL of like, okay, well, what's your depth situation like? Chargers are very high on Josh Palmer, for example. Is there anybody other than Tyron Johnson in that receiving group that has kind of stood out to you that Raiders fans, players, coaches are kind of buzzing about right now?
I know the coaches, they really like Mac Hollins. They're really big on him. He's getting a lot of run. him and Johnson are really kind of getting the run with the first team. So the first team, of course, is like Waller, Renfro, and Adams. But then you have the other wide receivers kind of mixing in with Hollins and Johnson right now. So Hollins is the other guy. I mean, he's a special teams guy too. So he's, you know, he's already basically got a spot on the team. They're kind of trying to see what he can do in the red zone. You know, my problem always with Hollins was hands. He had like a 17% drop rate on PFF. He only had like 40 targets, right? So yeah, that tells you, you know, so that's what I'm worried about with him. Like, he gets on the field, he's going to catch the football. So, you know, DeMarcus Robinson's out there. Keenan Cole is out there as well. Those are two guys that, you know, they're veteran players, but they really didn't do too much. I think Cole is a little bit better than Robinson, in my opinion, at this point in time. So, they have a little bit of depth at wide receiver, in my opinion, if they keep some of those guys. I mean, Keenan Cole is a good depth piece. If you have Keenan Cole as your fifth wide receiver, that's a pretty good depth piece. So I think they're pretty set there, and it's going to be a competition. Like, you know, somebody that's pretty decent, like DeMarcus Robinson, might end up getting cut, so.
Yeah, that's obviously, you know, that's the thing about depth, right? You know, somebody always ends up getting cut, and you have to kind of just weather the storm there. So I think when it comes to the offense, and a lot of people and their concern is obviously focused on the offensive line. Of course, Denzel Good, Richie Incognito, both retiring this offseason. How are you guys feeling about that situation? I know right tackle is a concern for everybody in this division, frankly, everybody around the league.
Yeah.
Update us on Alex Leatherwood, on Dylan Parham, and how that unit's kind of coming together right now.
Yeah, I think the left side is pretty locked in. You got Colton Miller, John Simpson, and Andre James. I think Andre James kind of he's kind of in camp. He looks pretty good. He looked really good in the one-on-ones in pass protection. So I wasn't a fan of Andre James getting the job last year, but he's continued to grow. And my problem with him is he's not really a center, so he doesn't do the checks really well, and his snaps was really slow. And it was allowing defensive ends to kind of just get off, especially when you have like Leatherwood over there. As long as those guys just get off the line, and his snaps weren't getting there fast enough. So if they're working on that and those things are getting faster, then, you know, he's a good pass protector. And I know that, but it's more about playing the center. Is he a center? You know, there's more playing center than just pass protection, you know, there's way more to it. That was always my problem with him. But if he's getting better there, they must like him there. It's the right side is the problem over here. So we got Lester Cotton. Lester Cotton's never played, but they really like him, and he's really taking a step. But he's like, he's got the right guard position. But then Parham's, he's kind of filling in behind him right now. Still with the first team, it's kind of like a rotation. And then they got Leatherwood versus Brandon Parker, which, you know, I still think Leatherwood's going to win that job after watching it on Sunday with pads. I thought Leatherwood looked a lot better than Brandon Parker. Brandon Parker looks like Brandon Parker still. I think Leatherwood looks like he's getting better. You know what I mean? Like Brandon Parker, he's still getting beat the same way. You know, it's the fifth year, man. Like, I don't know what you expect to see. So I still think Leatherwood's going to win that job, and he's going to be the right tackle. It's going to be interesting whether Parham beats out Cotton too, because I don't know if that's solidified as well. And I think Parham, he looked really good in one-on-ones too. You know, Neil Farrell is somebody that, you know, that a lot of people like from the Senior Bowl. That's with the Raiders right now, and he was stuffing him. So, and Parham, he's a smaller guy, right? So it kind of shows to his talent that he has. So I really kind of expect him to maybe step in there. And probably the final line that I would predict would be Miller, Simpson, James, Parham, and then Leatherwood. Which I don't know. Leatherwood, at right tackle, I don't know. I'm excited about. But hey, quarterbacks, he's right-handed. You can see that. You know,
yeah, I mean, I wasn't huge on Leatherwood coming out of Alabama. I think there was a lot to work with in terms of his physical tools, but just the inconsistencies. I think the worst thing you could have done with Leatherwood is, frankly, what they did, where you throw him out to right tackle, he kind of struggles out the gate, and you're like, okay, well, learn a brand new position 5 weeks into the season. So,
yeah,
I mean, if I'm a Raiders fan, I'm hoping that they kind of just right the course with Leatherwood, essentially kind of viewing him as, you know, Colton Miller 2.0, if you will, where you're just like, okay, we're just going to deal with the growing pains and just bet on this guy's physical tools.
Yeah, I feel the same way, man, because just watching him at camp, you could tell he's way more talented than Brandon Parker. You could tell he's the talented right tackle, and you can see his movement, his skills, his power, and it's more about technique with him, and he's been working on that. He looked like he was better shooting his hands, so I think the growth is there with him. And to me, like, Brandon Parker is in his fifth, sixth year. I mean, we know who he is.
Right. Yeah. It feels like a very similar conversation, to a few positions that the Chargers are going through right now, but That's a conversation for another time. I want to shift gears and talk about the defense for a second. Yeah. You mentioned Chandler Jones earlier in the show. I'm curious to get your thoughts here because, I mean, Chandler, obviously one of the best pass rushers of the last few seasons, one of the more underrated pass rushers. If you look at last season, though, like, a lot of his production was in that very first game against the Tennessee Titans. So how are you feeling about his transition to Vegas? Is kind of that back half of the season of Chandler Jones, who is going to be what we see in, you know, silver and black, kind of not the same player? Or is, do you think there's going to be kind of a revival tour this year for Chandler Jones?
Yeah, I'm not expecting Chandler Jones to go out there and get 15 sacks. I expect him to be more the secondary guy to Max Crosby. I think that's kind of how they look at it, too. I think Max Crosby is the star of the defensive line. And then you have a guy like Chandler Jones, you know, like, you know, some of these guys, when they get to that age, right, I mean, they get later on in the season and they just become more savvy and they start getting sacks. You know, I know Chandler Jones got all of his at the beginning of the season last year, but you can still see that he has a talent. He was still winning a lot. You know, he was still getting some pressures, you know, some of the games that I watched, and he was still playing the run pretty well. So, you know, you can tell he's still a sound player. He's still a good player. He might not be the great player that he was, but he's still a good complementary player to the guy that, you know, I believe is going to have a even more breakout season than he did the year before. So I think he complements Max Crosby well. And I think he compliments him better than Yannick Ngakoue did, because I think Ngakoue kind of fell off at the end of the year. And, you know, he's got really lazy. He wasn't the same player at the end of the year. So
as he tends to do.
As he tends to do, right?
Right.
Gets all 10 sacks in the first 6 weeks. But when he started to fade off, you know, Chandler Jones, that's not going to happen with Chandler Jones. You know, he's not going to fade off at the end of the year. And, you know, I think Malcolm Kuntz behind him, he's going to help Malcolm Kuntz get better too as well. So I think it's more about that. And I'm not expecting him to come out there and just get 20 sacks. That'd be crazy. But, hey, I mean, if he gets 10, I think that'd be great.
Yeah, very similar to how I feel about Khalil Mack with the Chargers. And yeah. I know Twitter was buzzing today after he put Rashawn Slater in a bit of a tough position today. Yeah. But I think ultimately Khalil and Chandler end up being, you know, they'll have glimpses of their former selves, but ultimately it's you know, kind of the twilight of their careers. And, you know, Max and Joey are kind of course, going to be the stars on their respective teams. So, you know, I think similar to the right tackle position, not a whole lot of surefire answers at the linebacker position in this division. Obviously, you know, the Raiders have Denzel Perryman, who unfortunately finally put together a healthy season when he was with the Raiders. He was never able to do that with the Chargers. Is there any talk of contract extension going on for Denzel Perryman, or where do you think the team views him in this new scheme as they transition from Gus Bradley, obviously he was with Denzel forever, to Patrick Graham now, who runs a very different scheme?
Yeah, it was interesting, you know, how much they spoke highly of him, because he's really undersized for the scheme as a linebacker. I mean, he's 5'11", 240. They like the big linebackers, you know, the Dante Hightowers, you know, the big dudes, the Reggie Raglins that can come up and, you know, bump people. And, you know, and he can do that, but for somebody his size, is he going to get hurt? You know, things like that, if he plays that type of linebacker. But they love him over there. So, I mean, I don't know if he's going to get a contract right now, but I think if he plays really well this year, he'll definitely get some a re-up or something like that. They're really high on him, his leadership and all that stuff, and how he's getting people ready. So they're really high on Perryman from that aspect. But, you know, just from a football aspect, I wonder how well he's going to be able to play how Patrick Graham wants his linebackers, because just how small he is. And he's not Dante Hightower, the big guy who can come up and bump guys, you know. So if they ask him to do that, does he get hurt? You know, who's the depth behind that? And, you know, to be honest, they don't have a linebacker that fits that right now. So if they expect him to play that role, that's going to be the interesting part. I think he can do it. To me, it's more about him being healthy. Is he be healthy the whole year?
Yeah. Yeah, because I feel like at the end of the season, Divine Diablo was kind of the Raiders' second linebacker, at least in passing down situations. He was playing a ton. Is he moving more towards back to safety like he did in college, or is he staying in linebacker with Denzel?
He's staying at linebacker. He's been out there the whole time. At practice, it was just basically Denzel and Divine Diablo were the two linebackers out there. And, you know, he looks really good. You know, to me, the interesting part with him is that he played solid at linebacker. He never played linebacker before. And I thought when he came in, he really helped the run game. He had a really good game against the Bengals in the playoffs. I thought he played really well there. And, you know, he was out there, you know, guarding up Kenyon Drake and knocking down passes in the one-on-one drills that they were having with, you know, going up against running back. So I'm really excited about him. He's definitely a worker and a leader. And I think it's somebody that's going to, you know, maybe take the next step. And I think this, because the defense is really young. I mean, that's kind of the issue with it, is how young they are and if they can gel really quickly. But I think Divine Diablo, he has a really chance to be a good, great player, in my opinion.
Yeah, I really liked him as kind of that dime back or safety hybrid that is, of course, all the rage right now. We'll wrap this position discussion up with the secondary. Okay. Obviously, going from Casey Hayward to Rock Ya-Sin as kind of the cornerback one, Anthony Averett as well. How are you feeling about that cornerback depth? And again, in a scheme change that could not be more drastically different than, hey, Gus, what are we doing? Cover three. All right. Gus, what are we doing? Cover three. All right. So how is this cornerback group gelling and adjusting to the new diverse scheme from Patrick Graham?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, before I went to practice on Saturday, it was probably one of the most positions I was worried about. You know, Rock Ya-Sin, even if you liked him coming out of college, I mean, he really hasn't done too much in the NFL. You know, Trayvon Mullins, he's doing some injury problems, and, you know, he was injured last year, and he even dealt with some injuries the year before. So, you know, he has some injury issues that he's dealing with. And, you know, Anthony Averett, he's a little bit of unknown. He had some good moments last year. But, you know, when I went to camp, I thought they competed really well, and they looked a lot better than I expected. So my outlook on them is a little bit different. You know, it's still a question mark because they're all really young guys, and we don't know exactly what they're going to do in the scheme yet. But, you know, it's going to be way different than, you know, anything they ran before. But, you know, they're press man guys. So, like, are they going to be playing more press man? You know, things like that. You know, when I was watching camp, they did play a lot of press, and you know, Rock Ya-Sin was holding his own against Davante Adams. And, you know, Nate Hobbs is somebody that's really, you know, caught my eye too. And they're playing him inside and outside. So that's going to be interesting to see how he develops. So, you know, I was more nervous going into watching the training camp live than I was when I left. But, you know, we'll see. You know, the game still has to start. We'll see how that goes. So it still is a question mark, but I feel a little bit more optimistic about them. You know, the safety position too. You know, I thought Trayvon Morris could be a stud, but, you know, where are they going to play Abram, things like that? Can they play him in too high? And those type of questions. You know, but so it's a question mark. I'm not going to say that I'm fully sold on it, but I'm more excited about him than I was before I went to go watch him live. So,
well, I think the good news is there is that obviously, if you're a Raiders fan, the early returns have been more positive than what we're hearing out of Kansas City with the Chiefs secondary. So you know, take some solace in that, I guess, if you will.
Yeah, this guy more of a superstar, man. I mean, you
know. He's looking like Davante Adams out there.
I know.
Where we can see. All right, well, last question about the Raiders, and then I want to get your thoughts just on the division as a whole. Okay. I think you could certainly start the Raiders conversation with this. I kind of wanted to end it with this. I think ultimately whether or not the Raiders reach their goals or not is obviously going to come down to what Josh McDaniels is in his second stint as a head coach. What have you kind of heard around the building, around the team, how he's kind of adjusting in this second trip? Do you think it's going to be, you know, that much of an improvement as he's, you know, learning from his past? Granted, of course, the Broncos job was like 10 years ago at this point. Yeah. So what are the vibes with Josh McDaniels, I guess, I'm asking right now?
It's nothing like it was in the Broncos. I mean, he's still Josh McDaniels. All right. I mean, he doesn't play that much. Right. I mean, they're still running laps and doing a lot of weird stuff that, you know, I wouldn't really expect pro players to do, but, you know, that's what they feel like, you know, this team needs discipline, which they do, you know, and they do need discipline, but I don't really agree with that. I mean, they're pro players, you know, they don't need to be running laps, but yeah, you know, from the other aspect of it, I think that he takes that aspect, but I think there's more of a human part to him too, that he's taking that part. And I think they're connecting with that as well. I think he's being more human, having a connection with players. He's not, you know, trying to act like he's just a general, you know, he's having, you know, they're joking around a little bit more. There's more smiling. There's more, they're a little bit more loose, right, than you would expect for a Josh McDaniels type of practice based on his earlier reputation. Right. Yeah. Based on his early reputation, you would expect a harder practice, or, you know, him being more of a hard person on the rest of the team. But I really feel like there's more of a connection and a more of a human aspect that he's showing this time. So, you know, I hope he makes it happen, because he's a great play caller. And I think, you know, the system is great for, I think it's great for Carr, and I think it's going to, you know, extenuate his talent. So I really hope he's not like the how he was before. And I can't say that he's not, but just from the early outlook, I think it's a little bit different.
Well, there we go. I know my co-host Alex has a lot of fun with Josh McDaniels and his Denver tenure. So we'll see. I mean, it's hard to be a downgrade after what happened last year with the head coaching situation. So,
yeah,
Josh, it's going to be very interesting, because, I mean, he had a chance to take that Colts job, and now he finally gets that second chance. So he's got to prove a lot of people wrong.
He does. He does. It's no lie.
All right. So, like I said, I wanted to get your thoughts here on the AFC West. I think we've talked a lot about the Raiders. Of course, the Chiefs have kind of owned the division over the last few years. Broncos get Russell Wilson. How are you kind of interpreting the other three teams in the division? Of course, the team that we cover, the Chargers. How do you see kind of those three sorting themselves out this year?
If I had, a team that I would say probably would, take over the Chiefs, I mean, probably would be the Chargers, just based on their talent. You know, they have the talent on the team to make that all happen, but that's all, they all have to put that together, because they do have the talent to take the Chiefs, because the Chiefs aren't talented.
Yeah.
I was looking at the roster. They're not talented, right? They got Patrick Mahomes, really, at this point. They got Travis Mahomes, and Travis Kelce is like 33 and older. I think the Raiders, I think they can, actually take a next step and maybe even have a chance to be better than the Chiefs if they could put it together. I just think that, I think it's gonna be like a Raiders and Chargers division, in my opinion. I mean, I think the Broncos are probably gonna surprise early, but then people will catch up and figure out what they're doing, because they have Russell Wilson, and he's an early guy. I think they're gonna probably maybe upset a couple of people, maybe have a hot start, but they'll fall off eventually, because I don't think they're that talented as they think so either. So, in my opinion, I mean, that's how it would be. I feel like the Chargers and Raiders are kind of be balancing out for the division, in my opinion, because I know a lot of people don't think the Raiders are going to finish fourth. I think they're a good team just from watching them. They didn't look like a bad football team. You could tell in practice. I don't care. When you go watch training camp, you could be like, I thought they looked pretty good on both sides of the ball. So I know they could at least be the 10-win team that they were last year. Right. And, the team that last year shouldn't even won 10 games. So, right. So, they're better than that. And, so I feel like they could definitely get back to that 10, 11 wins. And, so we'll see how that goes, though.
I have definitely felt that, that the Raiders projected win-loss total is a little low, in my opinion. And I understand, I definitely have some of the concerns if, as being an objective viewer, right? Like the secondary, yeah. The offensive line, really, how good can your secondary be if Rocky Asin is your first, is your top corner,
Yeah.
Like you're talking about Andre James. I think that's a huge issue. Of course, the right tackle situation, like the rest of us all have right tackle issues. Yeah. But I think a lot of, Chargers fans are gonna hate this, but I think everybody kind of just shits on Derek Carr because like that's just kind of a bit at this point. But he's a good quarterback, and I think he does deserve a ton of credit for, really stabilizing the Raiders situation last year, with all the things that were going on. So if Josh McDaniels can come in and be, a human, like you were saying earlier, have that human element. And of course, Devontae, drawing attention away from Darren Waller, Hunter Renfro, the Raiders are going to put up a ton of points. I know that. My concern mostly is on the defensive side of things. And then, I think Patrick Graham is a great coach. And if he's going to prove that, he's got to do it with this group. That's kind of just a lot of underrated solid guys, as opposed to having like a ton of star talent.
Yeah. I think on offense, I think they're going to put up a lot of points. I think Derek Carr is going to have a big year just because he has all those guys. And, I would expect him to. I mean, I know last year he had Henry Ruggs and he was playing really well. And I know Henry Ruggs is no Devontae Adams. So, let's just start there. So, yeah. I think he has some guys to throw to. And I think Darren Waller is going to have a big year too. And because he's going to get used in the slot and moved around a lot. And that's really the guy I expect to maybe even, you know, have a bigger yards year than Davante Adams. Because at the end of the day, you know, Davante Adams is Derek Carr's best friend and all that, but his NFL boy is Darren Waller. And, you know, I always watch him on tape. He gets to stare Waller down when Waller plays. It's like, he says, where's Waller? You know, and
I can't say I blame him.
Right? So is that going to change? I don't know how much it's going to change. They got some chemistry too. So it's going to be interesting.
There we go. Marcus, can't thank you enough for taking the time to join me today. Appreciate all the great insight. Where can Chargers fans find your work if they want some more Raiders intel as we get closer and closer to week one?
Yeah, you can check me out at the Mark John NFL on Twitter, so you can follow me there. Also, I got my show Tape Don't Lie. I do a lot of film breakdowns and, you know, breaking down the Raiders and, we talk, we do podcasts that, regular conversations as well. I went over training camp the last 2 days on Saturday and Sunday. So, you know, get some information there if you want some. But, you know, so check me out those spots. Also, SilverandBlackPride.com, SB Nation. You know, we do a lot of writing there. Shout out my dude, Matt Holder, as well. He does a lot of good work there. So, just check us out, man.
There we go. Appreciate your time, Marcus. Hope you have a good one.
All right. Thanks, man.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.